Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, here with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah.
So if you're just joining us and you don't know what the heck we're doing here on a Thursday, we are right in the middle of a 3-part series about family travel. So yesterday we brought you an episode where I talked a lot about all the travel I did when my kids were really small, especially visiting grandparents and going to family events. And we know people are starting to dip their toes back in the water this time of year, and things are different all over the country and everyone's comfort level is different. But we're sharing stories yesterday and today and tomorrow about family travel. I don't know, Megan, I think in the hopes of whenever people feel ready that they'll have these stories to think about, just as a reminder that, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. It's all going to be okay.
Yeah. And we've talked a lot about how you get out of practice with these kinds of things. And a lot of people who didn't even have a baby a year ago are now suddenly going to be like, thrust into the world of traveling with a baby or traveling with 2 kids and they only had one. So this has been really fun. And I'm really excited about today's episode because we are interviewing a mom who has been on the road with her toddler in a camper and her husband for a year now. And it's just like such an inspiring story. She's fantastic. Her name is Chelsea. And the way we met Chelsea actually is that she works for Regalo Baby, which is our sponsor for this series. And we don't usually have sponsors on these kinds of episodes as guests, but her experience was just so perfect. And she's really fun and inspiring and has such great things to say about basically living and working, because she's a full-time working mom too, on the road with a toddler in tow and all the sort of adventures and misadventures that they've run into. And I will also say, even if that's never going to be your thing, like you're never going to get in a camper with your kid, even for a weekend, let alone a year, I still think there's just so much to benefit from in this conversation. Everything from just how to adventure and kind of like walk that line between planning, but like going with the flow, and also small space living and minimalism and living with less. It was like an inspiring conversation all around.
It was. And I totally agree. You may listen to Chelsea and be like, yeah, nope, I could never do that. But you'll still hear about things like how she stores toddler toys and how she got used to small space living and how that dance of wanting to control everything as a mom, but also knowing you're not in control. Like there's so much of what she said that you and I, Megan, were both just like, yes, this is not about, you know, full-time working mom life in an RV. This is really about like almost a crash course in early parenthood in ways that just, I feel like she's going to be such a more fulfilled and like settled parent because she's done this like crash course in letting go of control on the road. It was a really cool conversation. Okay. So before we dive into our conversation with Chelsea, we mentioned that she works for our sponsor, Regalo Baby, and they just have some incredible solutions for traveling families, whether you're doing the RV thing or you're just going to the grandparents for the weekend. So let's chat a little bit about some of these great products.
Yeah, Sarah, when I had mobile babies, I remember really coveting one of those play corrals that keeps your little one, you know, out of danger and in one place. But the thing is, the ones that I saw back then were always enormous and bulky and would have been a total pain to lug along on a trip. But the My Portable Play Yard from our sponsor, Regalo Baby, would have been such a lifesaver. It's totally portable, folds down small like a bag chair, and even comes with a carrying bag so you can easily tote it around.
Oh my gosh, right? Well, like we mentioned, our guest today, Chelsea, actually works for Regalo Baby, and she has some great tips for keeping her toddler safe and happy while full-time living in an RV. Spoiler alert, I already know that she loves that My Portable Play Yard, and I have a feeling I would in her shoes too. This is a really quick and easy way to create a portable play space for your baby. You just unfold it and lock it in place. It comes in 2 sizes and can be used inside or outside. There's also a deluxe play yard with an attachable canopy, which would be so nice for playground or beach play.
Yeah, My Portable Play Yard would be amazing for travel, but also just for everyday mom sanity, you know? It is so nice to have a place where you can safely put a mobile baby or a toddler for a little while, where they can still see and interact with the world without like crawling into an anthill or a pile of dog poop or something like that.
Yeah, let's try to avoid that, please. Regalo Baby is a family-owned company that makes affordable and super practical products for busy families. I also love that Regalo is truly a family business. So it was started by a couple over 25 years ago, and now all three of their grown kids work at the company too. Regalo's products are all about simplicity and functionality, and they have such great stuff for this stage of life. Definitely check it all out at regalobaby.com/themomhour, and you'll get a special discount just for being our listener. Again, that's Regalo, R-E-G-A-L-O, baby.com/themomhour.
Okay, Sarah, so excited about this. Let's dive into our conversation with Chelsea.
Hi, Chelsea. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
We're so excited to dive in. Please just share the details of your family's travel and working and living situation. We've told our listeners that you are full-time on the road, two full-time working parents. I'm not sure I even know what a fifth wheel is. So you're going to have to like explain this to us.
Perfect. Yes, I can do that. So we've been traveling for the last year. And a fifth wheel camper is just a different form of camper. It is pulled differently than just connected to the bumper. A lot of times they're a little bit bigger. We do have like a 32-foot camper. So it really is a home on wheels. It has nearly all the conveniences that, you know, your normal home would have, our bedroom, a bunk room that has another bedroom in it. So kitchen, living space, bathroom, shower. It does not have washer and dryer or a dishwasher. But really the main difference is that it's 200 square feet rather than, you know, a 2000 square foot home. We both are working remotely. My mm-hmm. husband is a project manager at an ad agency, and I work as a digital marketing manager for Regalo. So it's been something that we've both been able to do wherever we are, and we have decided to take advantage of the wherever we are part.
Yeah. Okay. So let me dig in with a couple follow-ups. Your toddler, Hayden.
Yes.
You said he's two. So when you hit the road, where were we in COVID and how old was your baby?
Yes, he's over two now. We were like kind of right at the beginning of it, which ended up being, I guess, a blessing for us in a way, because it was such a good way to social distance. Mm-hmm. There oftentimes, you know, we are a quarter mile from another person. So in that regard, really good. As an extrovert, COVID has been very hard without people. And that's just a general thing, no matter where you are.
Yeah.
So he was a little over a year old when we started this journey. So, you know, definitely has gone through some transitions in life from a year to over 2 years old now.
And I'm sure your whole itinerary would take a long time, but like, kind of give us a picture of how far and like where you've traveled so far and like how long you typically stay in one place. Or is it all over the map, literally?
In a way, it's all over the map. But we actually kind of started this adventure as my husband saying, like, well, maybe we could just go for like 3 weeks in the camper. Like, we've never done anything like that. That'd be great. And I was like, okay, like we could go for 3 weeks. That'd be cool. And so we, you know, packed the things we thought we would need for 3 weeks. And we now haven't been home in over a year.
Wow.
So it ended up just continuing. And we have been, I think, in like 22 different states in the last over year here. We love national parks. We love hiking, outdoor things, which has also been another kind of savior in COVID times, of just being outdoors. So we do like to visit as many as we can. I think we've been to 16 throughout this last year, and then probably like countless national forests. We do, you know, we try to set ourselves up wherever we are, somewhere that's beautiful and that we can enjoy, you know, being outside, which also makes our small space feel bigger.
Yeah.
The more you can be outside, then you have just more options. So that's something that we really like to do. I don't really remember what else you just asked me. So
no, just yeah. I mean, I didn't want you to feel like you had to list every state, but just hearing that you've been, you know, in 22 states and that you've kind of focused on that outdoor living and the active living, that's, you answered my question. But I think what we're dying to know really is, like, what is a day in the life like as two working parents with a toddler who live out of 200 square feet on wheels? So I know that's kind of a tall order, but, like, can you just kind of give us a typical day?
Yeah. So one of the biggest things for me has been trying to find some uninterrupted work time, because with a toddler, you're interrupted, I think, like every 7 seconds. So I usually get up at like 5 a.m. and work. And so that gives me like 2 hours of like uninterrupted work time, which is really helpful. When Hayden does get up, we have breakfast. And after that, like, he plays really well. That's one thing that I think this journey has been really good for, is independent play on his part. So, you know, that's something that he will do, which gives me, you know, a lot of time to be working, and I can even be in meetings or anything that I need to be doing. And then when we have the nap time, which is the glorious time of day. So we get, you know, I get like 2 or 3 hours during that time. That's completely uninterrupted as well. I try to schedule a lot of my meetings during that time, just so that it is uninterrupted. I am lucky to be, you know, with a company that, kids are mostly always around, whether we were in office or not in office. So he's a part of a lot of meetings. He knows all of my coworkers. He can name them the second they come onto the screen. So that is helpful, yet sometimes distracting. Yeah. So if I do need to have a meeting in which he is going to be awake, and I then have, you know, my husband maybe block off time in his calendar for work so that he can have a, you know, be there with him and I can have my meeting. My husband is in a lot more meetings just throughout the day as a project manager than I am. So a lot of it does fall on me, which I think is probably a typical feeling for moms in general. So I have had to learn a lot of different ways to work in like any situation. I might be sitting at a park. I, you know, might be just outside while he's playing in a giant mud puddle, and you're looking at him knowing that you have to clean him up after this, but it is keeping his attention for 45 minutes. So you just let it happen.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Chelsea, I know in addition to the working mom stuff, which, you know, I know Sarah and I have both been there in having to be creative with napping kids and meetings from the park, but not that creative. So like those challenges are definitely amplified, let's say, but also just motherhood on the road. I'm thinking, you know, the age and stage that your son has been in when you've been traveling has really intersected with a lot of milestones. Like, I'm thinking first steps, first words, or even if that stuff was already happening, like tantrums, getting new nap schedules, dropping naps, adding naps, all those things that you've gone through. How does life on the road impact those things, make them harder? It maybe sometimes makes them easier.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely just the normal life of, you know, children growing and going through transitions. But I think, you know, it has impacted different things. So we did a nap transition from kind of those two naps a day to one nap a day, which for the most part, the most impact it had was on how we travel. We had to kind of change up how we did things. You know, he was dropping a nap. So he actually ended up becoming, you know, less of a car napper when dropping a nap. He really needed that time to actually be in his bed. So that changes the logistics of how we travel. We have fairly recently started transitioning him to a bed rather than, you know, a crib, which in a small space causes a lot of like reorganization. So, you know, that's been a bit of a challenge, but he's done pretty good with it. And I know the transitioning is just a normal life event that causes, you know, issues no matter where you are. But, you know, because it's such a small space, you know, we use any area that we have for storage. And so that one of those beds that we moved him to, you know, used to be storage. So that then brings into the like, okay, well, what are these things do we really need? Mm-hmm. What can we get rid of? Which is like a kind of a cyclical thing, really, of trying to figure out how to make a small space the most functional.
And you've also, you know, all these things that are playing out, a busy toddler is living in that small space. So on the days you can't get outside, on the days that's just not practical for weather reasons or whatever reasons, I'm sure you've had to kind of employ some strategies to keep him from climbing, literally climbing the walls of the inside of your camper.
Yes. So we have tried to be, you know, in the southern region of this country for most of the winter because it is warmer. We spent, I think, almost 6 weeks in Texas, which included the week that froze. And
right.
That was a week, that for sure. So we were not going outside, nor could we even move. We were frozen to where we were. So and there was no water, there was no power, there was nothing.
Oh,
it was a week for everybody in Texas, but it was probably a little even crazier in such a small space. So we got pretty creative. I will make little obstacle courses inside the camper for him. We'll take like the benches of our dining table and put them up against the couch, and then he can climb up and slide down and roll around. So he calls it the obstacourse. And so that is something that we've had to really do, is try to find different ways to, you know, keep him occupied. I've actually made like a masking tape road on our floor. So he brings his trucks and cars and trains on that road a lot and finds different ways to play with that. I do a lot of like bins and different things as well to, you know, keep him busy and kind of change out what he's doing.
Yeah. Wow. I'm thinking as you're talking that having to deal, like just thinking about that nightmarish situation, you said it was a week, but it probably felt more like a month or 5 months or something. But I'm wondering about your mom confidence. I mean, I think that you've had to deal with a lot of things like in an accelerated way that maybe most moms experience at one time or another, but you've experienced it all kind of smooshed, like all the road trips at once, you know, for a year now. So do you feel like this experience has made you a more confident parent?
I think it has. And I think in general, it has actually just reframed a lot of things for me personally and as a mom. We've had to adapt a lot while we travel. I think from the beginning of our travels till now, I've had to relinquish a lot of the control and truly expect the unexpected every single time we get in the vehicle to go somewhere else. And we've talked like about it a lot, my husband and I, is like, we've gotten this down, you know, on moving day of getting everything ready, getting everything, you know, put into its places, getting out at like 8:30 in the morning. And we are like high-fiving that we got out by 8:30 a.m. It's only a 4-hour drive, which is really our like longest we try to do. And then we pull into the next spot at like 5:30 p.m. And we're like, how did this happen? How did we spend 8 or 9 hours getting 4 hours? So that is one thing that in motherhood I've had to really rein in, because it used to like give me so much anxiety of like things aren't going as planned. He's not napping. He's not, you know, he's losing his mind in the back seat because of whatever, the 1 million things that could happen. And I've really had to take a lot of deep breaths and learn that, you know, this is also just a part of the journey, and that we're going to get somewhere new. And there's all these new experiences that we get to immerse ourselves in. And, you know, that's probably the one thing, you know, that I've really learned personally, and what I want for Hayden, you know, as a mom, is just to like stop, you know, necessarily going about life in the traditional way of, you know, we've made it to this house. This is the house we were working so hard for, or, you know, the cars or money or material things. But we found so much like inner peace on this journey, and like allowing that inner peace to actually make us feel like successful rather than the other measurements, you know, of success. And, you know, kind of doing this thing that has just like set our soul on fire. And I hope that, you know, that carries through to Hayden, that he can feel success, you know, maybe through an untraditional way.
I love that.
Well, let's talk a little more about small space living. I think our listeners who maybe live in a more traditional, like suburban house with a few bedrooms, or even our city living listeners, there's something kind of exciting or voyeuristic to think about this like tiny house or RV movement. But I also think like you can speak from the reality of like just how much stuff comes with the baby and toddler years. Specifically, you mentioned, you know, keeping some activities in bins and rotating those out. And I would love to hear just a little bit more about especially the baby and toddler gear and the decisions you've had to make about what to get, what to keep, how long to keep it. I'm also curious about things like, do you ever ship a box home to your parents or the in-laws or something? Like, talk about the stuff management that comes with this lifestyle.
Yes. It's actually become quite the nerdy hobby for me.
I love
that. Of like organizing and figuring out the best places to store things and, you know, like how things get organized, you know, whether we're somewhere or we're traveling, because sometimes those need to shift to different places. You can't just, you know, put things anywhere. So it really has become this like game for me that I have highly enjoyed figuring out things like the organization in me. It's just like, yes,
right.
I found a spot.
It's getting back some of that control that you lose with the schedule, but you're like, I will control this stuff.
Yes. And I think one of the biggest, you know, thing, we went from a house full of baby items and toddler items. We have grandparents that are very generous and they really love to buy things for their grandson. So it was this time where we had to like look at everything we have and then figure out the like kind of the bin system that we were going to use. Like, here are the 4 bins that we have for toys.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all we have for toys. So it's smaller items, it's less items, and I've watched Hayden like really flourish with less. The less he has, the more imaginative I see him become with like the same toy, rather than letting the toys kind of entertain him, because he has so much to choose from, but they are the cause of entertainment, has been letting him have a few things that, you know, one of the criteria is that they can do, you know, that toy get maybe does different things, but also allows him to be, you know, far more imaginative with it and find new ways to play with things. So that has been a really good thing for him. But we do rotate a lot. That's been such a big help, is being able to rotate toys. And I know people do that like in the traditional home, but we just have to do it on a much smaller scale. But it's amazing what, you know, a new bin of toys does. And the same actually goes, you know, on travel days of figuring out, you know, different toys to keep his attention. The latest trick we have learned on travel day is to like get either a $1 or a $6 new toy, something that he knows what it is, and then hand it to him right when we're leaving. And we usually can get like a full hour of him investigating this new piece of equipment before, you know, he needs to move on to the next thing, which is a long time.
Yeah. And in the world of a toddler, an hour is
yes.
like a day.
It's like, yeah, it's like an insanity. There's often times when we're traveling or something and he's getting really antsy and I was like, we have only 10 minutes left. I know that's an eternity for you, but you're going to have to hold on.
I love that. So I'm sure you've gotten better over time. And it sounds like you really, like you said, it's become a game. Do you have days where you just like are over it though? Like where you just wish you had a 2000 square foot house or could be alone in a big house? Or as you've gotten better, do you really continue to kind of lean in and appreciate it?
I'm going to say all of that.
Yeah. I was going to say this is a both and.
Yeah. At different times, you know, even yes, there's times that I feel over it and that it would be, it'd be really nice to just have a place, like just to go to a place right now, go to a house. Even actually last night we're currently in Mississippi. And so I know national news is talking about, you know, all the tornadoes and crazy storms that just went through here. Mm-hmm. And so there was a tornado warning and we're like, this is probably not best to be in a camper during a tornado warning. So we got to town and we were trying to find a place to go into and we really couldn't. And then we ended up back at, you know, where we were camping and went to the little concrete bathroom. So that's fun to entertain a toddler and not have them touch anything in a concrete bathroom when you're just trying to like be there for a little while and hunker down. So at that moment, when my husband and I are bickering about what we're going to do, and it's like, oh, it'd just be nice to have a house right now. And then alone time. Yeah, of course. I mean, I think every mom is probably feeling the alone time need during COVID, especially. But yes, in a 200 square foot house, you really don't have a lot of space. Once again, the like outdoor being able to get out there has really been helpful. We do try, like both my husband and I, to take a little bit of time, you know, maybe once a week, and we each, you know, can go for our like our own walk and not have toddler in tow, which is helpful. But then, you know, I guess in reality, when I think about it, and there's been times that my husband has been like, all right, well, let's just stop doing this then. Let's go, you know, back to Minneapolis and we'll be done. And there's like, I just like can't give that up. I'm like, no, I'm not ready for that. Like everything that we kind of go through, the stresses of that might be a little bit more in everyday life just because it's a different, untraditional style, still brings me like so much joy that it, you know, that we want to keep doing it. And I think it's really brought like us as a family like so close together. And just to be able to spend time in some of this country's like most beautiful places. We like walk out our door sometimes and we're just like, wow, this is absolutely incredible. I mean, we were parked on the beach, you know, in South Padre Island for 2 weeks. It's like, all right, we're going to walk out our door and that's the ocean, like 30 feet away.
Chelsea, I feel like you're doing a lot right now to promote the RV industry. So we might need to pull another sponsor in for this series. This has been so fun to listen to. And I really just have one more question. I know you talked earlier about kind of that balance between getting really good at anticipating issues, which I think is like one of those mom superpowers that we all develop over time. But you've probably had to really develop it quickly and acutely. Like you have to account for every potential problem that could happen. But then at the same time, you have to be flexible enough to know that there's always going to be problems and things aren't going to go to plan. So I'm just wondering if you kind of mentioned that maybe that rolling with the punches doesn't really come natural to you, but maybe that you're getting better. And I'm wondering if you have any stories about having to wing it and like maybe kind of come out of your comfort level a little bit, or maybe things that were just a disaster and they're not funny at all. Maybe even a sad story. You can tell one of those if you want.
Yeah, I am like on the fence. I'm a roll with the punches in so many ways, and I really like the organization and the plan, in a lot of ways as well. So parenthood in general has been like that push and pull for me, and I've had to learn, a lot in regards to that. And I think, all this travel that we do, I mean, most people won't ever travel as much with their kids as we have traveled. I mean, we have actually gone from one side of the country to the other. And so it has brought about a lot of, I guess, new ways of thinking for me. And it's also just made me have to appreciate what is travel, and that it is not, you know, your road trip with the music that you want to listen to and, you know, all these cool stops, and we can just get there when we get there. You know, there's still naps. There's still wheels on the bus 700 times in a row. And we've just had to learn that, like, the unexpected will happen, and that's okay. We have, I guess, you know, in terms of stories, I feel like I could probably write a small book on the random places we've slept and that we're not expecting to sleep in. But, you know, the day does not go as planned, and this is where we are at. Definitely slept in a Walmart parking lot, Cracker Barrel parking lot, on top of a mountain that we for sure should not have had our camper on top of. We lost a tire that night on the camper, so that was a whole.
Oh my goodness!
I mean, that's another
one of those things. Stress. Looking back later, it's fun to talk about, but probably in the moment you were, you know, pulling your hair out. So
yes. We did manage, though, at the very top of that mountain. That was the only place we had cell signal. So I guess that was a blessing. because then we could connect with the world again and maybe figure out where we were. So, yeah, I mean, and I think having a child in those situations, for me, definitely causes more stress. Because, I mean, we not only are they, you know, it's now becoming nightfall, and this kid needs to eat. He needs to sleep, and he's going to lose his mind. I'm already losing my mind. I'm trying to keep it together. So I think our child has probably seen a fair share of, you know, us, I guess, the trials and tribulations of, of travel, and what that actually means. And I know he's only two. He won't remember a lot of this, but, you know, I'm hoping, like, both the highs and the lows kind of fill his soul, and that he can have this sense of calm when things are going wrong. I think that's probably the one thing I have learned the most, is that sense of calm while things are kind of falling apart. You're trying to make a new plan, and Google is not always right.
Turns out
that it does bring you onto roads that should not be classified as roads. And, you know, you just have to take a breath and know that the next day is going to be better. You're going to have a clearer head. And that as long as you're able to sleep, because we can sleep, you know, wherever we are, since our home is attached, that we will be okay.
Yeah, tomorrow's a new day. As you're talking, I'm thinking that's such a valuable lesson to carry forward into motherhood for you, even though, as you say, Hayden may not have concrete memories of this time. But what an amazing crash course in that push-pull of letting go, solving for what you can, kind of prioritizing or triaging in the moment. Like, it's just, it's very cool to hear you as a mom of only a couple years, like, have that perspective. And then the ways in which you can carry that into the next decades of motherhood, I think, are very, very cool. So I'm so impressed. I would love to kind of dig in a little bit, thinking ahead, talking about the future. Like you said, you've fantasized maybe about heading back to regular life. And then you say, no, I'm not done with this yet. So without committing to anything, you don't have to know, but do you have kind of a vision for where this ends or how you transition back into regular life? Or is that literally just like you wake up every day, you talk about it together, and you'll decide at some point?
Yeah. I mean, there is, we know the transition back to, you know, that more traditional life will happen. I really, like, homeschooling is something that I find amazing. And I think that the people that do that are also amazing. But at the moment, that's probably not something that I'm prepared to do, you know, along with working full time.
Right.
I just don't, obviously we couldn't dedicate enough time for that. And that's a really important element of, you know, his life. So in that sense, we would want to, you know, we'll want to be somewhere when that takes place. But at the same time, we left traditional offices, you know, because of COVID, mm-hmm. and those offices will go back, at least mine for sure, will go back to being in office.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, you know, absolutely love what I get to do. And, you know, that makes it worth it for me to be back and be in the office with my coworkers and going about day-to-day life in that way. You know, COVID has kind of left that TBD of, mm-hmm. of returns and, right. and how that functions. So, you know, we do know there will be an end, but we are like absolutely cherishing every moment. And anytime we get kind of the notice that, you know, well, this work from home thing is extended, you know, we are like, well, should we just go home then or should we stay out? And we're like, let's stay out. We're not ready. Mm-hmm.
It's just really cool. And it sounds like that you and your husband, you know, are equally, you're equally in this. And you, I would think, and I don't know, but I would think that if you've made it a year, you've probably learned some of the hardest things to learn and adapted in some of the most difficult ways. So it's very cool to think that it could be, you know, it could be any amount of time in the future, but you've got what it takes now, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure sometimes you think about that transition back to more traditional family life. And you've touched on a few things as we've talked today, but is there anything else that you just want to take with you, like a mindset, a mentality, a skill set, that even if 2 years from now, your life looks very traditional again, what would you take from this and kind of pull into your life going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually thought about it a lot because we know at the moment that there will be an end date to our, you know, traveling journey. I will definitely, whenever we have, you know, a house again, I will live so much more simply and kind of minimally. I just, the thought of how much stuff we had, it like gives me like anxiety over like all this stuff. It's amazing how much better it feels to not have the stuff and to really learn like what are the things that are really valuable to our life. Because it's not like we are living with like no conveniences or, you know, that we're just buying food and one pair of shoes or something. We have like, we have some things, right. But it's making those choices of like, how much do you really need? You probably don't need as many shoes as you own, because we can't fit them in this space at the moment, but I don't really need them in a space where I can fit them. Mm. How many toys do you really need to make a child happy? A lot less than you think you need.
Right.
And allows them to imagine and immerse themselves more into play when they're not like bombarded by so many choices. So, you know, that's for sure one thing that will always be a part of me now, is that mentality of probably purging and organizing, and finding like the things that I truly need and what you really don't need that are just things.
Mm-hmm. As you're talking, I'm looking around the room and just noticing all the things I don't need. And it, like, I want to like hang this call up and go completely purge. And then, I mean, I've lived in small spaces before, and I know how you shrink your life to make it work, and then how easy it is to start creeping it back up again. So that's very inspiring. And I think you've just inspired a purge among many of us. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. Well, this has been great, Chelsea. What a great story you have, and something I think, even if Hayden doesn't remember, or, you know, won't remember much of it, you can always look back to that time, and that's going to feel so special for him as he gets older. And I just really appreciate you sharing your story.
Yes, thank you, Chelsea. That was such a great conversation. And thanks to our sponsor for this series, Regalo Baby. Definitely check out their website at regalobaby.com/themomhour. And you'll get a special discount when you shop there just for being our listener.
Yeah, and definitely make sure you check back for part three. That'll be tomorrow, where we're going to be talking about nurturing a spirit of adventure in your family, even if you're kind of on a smaller budget. And definitely check out our show notes and our social channels to find out more about our sponsor, Regalo Baby.
All right, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow. Talk to you then.